said, I'm Steve, and I pastor just up the road at Marion Church of Christ, and I'm so thankful to be here with you guys today. You didn't come to hear me, though, so. but just, we have a good friendship, and just, it's about sharing kingdom resources, and one of them is Yao. Yao, it was, he's my former boss. He's a mentor of mine, a friend, and I'd say he's still my coworker, but I think I'd best say he's our coworker, because we're all, we're co-laborers in the harvest, and we serve Jesus, and he's just going to tell us a bit about the mission stuff that he's been called to and he's involved in. So maybe I'll just pray for him as he comes up, and then I'll pass it over to Yao. Father, I just thank you so much. Yeah, you can come up and you can put your hands, reach your hands out. We just pray for Yao. Lord, we thank you for you've done in his life, Lord, and that you can say his cup overflows, Lord. And we just pray that what's in him today from you would spill out into our lives, Lord, and we can take what you would have from you for us, Lord, and that we could further it for your kingdom. So, Lord, I just pray you'd bless him, you'd speak through him, use him right now in this meeting, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Wow. Praise the Lord. Oh, we have to do this again. Sonia, we got to do this again. This morning I preached at Marion Church of Christ, and I told them that back in Africa, and you should know, when we say praise the Lord, there's a response. People say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because hallelujah means praise the Lord. And hallelujah is the same in every language. Right? So let's try it. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes. Great. Now I feel at home. Thank you very much. It's really an honor to bring the word of God this afternoon. I recognize that there are many preachers here, and it's a privilege that you would ask me to serve. Thank you very much, Pastor Larson, Pastor Toe, Pastor Steve, all the pastors here, and all of us. And I've preached by God's grace in over 50 countries in the world, but never been to Australia. So this is my first time, and I'm very curious because I was told you guys were down under. So I thought we would be walking like that. But it's quite normal. It's quite normal. Praise God for that. All right. So when I do this, it means next slide. Yeah. Let me bring greetings for my family. That's my people have started counting. They're like, really? You know, yes, that's my wife. I'm married to one wife, yes. Who is a woman? Who has always been a woman. It's a very interesting world we live in now, you know, because in Africa, not a lot of people, but some people are polygamous. You know, so when you say you have 7 children, they ask the same woman. You know, so in Africa, I have to say I have one wife. But then when I go to Canada, I have to say it's one wife who is a woman. But by the time I get to Australia, I have to say who is a woman who has always been a woman. Some of you get the joke. All right. But we like to say we're from Ghana, because we're originally from Ghana. But for the last 14 or so years, we've been serving International Student Ministries of Canada. And also with the Lausanne Movement, I'll tell you a bit about that shortly. Next slide. All right, we're going to go very fast. So Steve and I are part of something called the Lausanne Movement. It's something Billy Graham started, and with others like John Stott. And one of the statements I really love, some of you may know about the Lausanne Covenant. In 1974, Billy Graham, John Stott, there was Jack Dane, who was from Australia. They all got together and said, Lord, let's look at the work of the Great Commission in our world today. They met in Lausanne, Switzerland. And so since then, it's been known as the Lausanne Committee on World Evangelization. And John, who died a few years, maybe 5 years ago, he was British. Jack Dane was Australian. Of course, Billy Graham was American. They said, world evangelization requires the whole church to take the whole gospel to the whole world. And God bless all you pastors who have brought all together. I mean, there are several churches represented here and other mission organizations like, you know, evangelical students and all of that. That is what it's going to take. Our unity is missiological. Being united is actually a strategy for the kingdom of God. Jesus said that people will believe when we are united. Just like people will believe when they feel love, that we love. All right? And so that's part of what we'll talk about today. Quickly, next slide. So I'm actually originally a medical doctor. I'll tell you about that shortly. But this is a book that I don't have a lot here. I think I have about seven or eight copies left. This book was released last year. You can find it on Amazon. And I'll tell you a bit about it in the message, because since 2018, Africa has had the most Christians in the world. I thought you'd say hallelujah. Because many of us have prayed for Africa. Many of you, maybe your grandparents went to Africa and all of that. And, you know, just 100 years ago, they called us the Dark Continent. And I'll bring this up again later in the sermon, because what we want to see God do in the world, to see all the neighbors, our communities worshiping him, it's possible. Because this has changed in 100 years. You know, for 1,000 years, Europe had most Christians in the world. For 1,000 years. Until our lifetime, this has happened. In fact, 2014, Latin America became the continent with the most Christians, and then 2018, Africa happened. But that's not just that. By 2050, there'll be more Christians in Africa than the next two continents combined. It is the doing of the Lord, and it's marvelous in our eyes, and it's a huge responsibility to the church in Africa, and I hope we live up to that bill. So, next slide. Some of you may, this always gives me emotions because I was in this wreck. And so if you're wondering why this guy, where is this guy, you know, why is he so crazy, why can't he stand still? It's because I was dead, but now I'm alive. Oh, yeah, Galatians 2:20 means a lot to me. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. I'm a medical doctor by training. I was working with the United Nations in Côte d'Ivoire. Côte d'Ivoire is Ivory Coast. And they were in civil war. So as a military captain, I was asked to go and serve as a United Nations peacekeeper. Just 3 weeks into our tour, this accident happened. There were three of us in the car. I was a captain, there was a major who was also a doctor, and our driver who was a staff sergeant. Because of time, I can't get into all the story, but basically, someone ran into us on the highway, and out of the three of us in the car, the other two died. I'm the only one that lived to come and tell the story. And by God's grace, I've traveled around the world to tell of God's salvation. Many people have given their life to Christ because of this testimony. But that is why I'm coming today to you, not as a medical doctor to give you prescriptions of, you know, one drug or the other, but the prescription of the gospel. Because there's nothing that changes lives like the gospel. Oh, it's great to see miracles like eyes seeing and, you know, legs healed, but there's nothing like changed lives. I can tell you, I mean, as a doctor, not every miracle am I particularly impressed with. Like, let's say you can't see because of cataract. All we have to do is knock out the lens. You will see. So those are another things that are like, but to see a changed life. And it's only the gospel of Jesus that can do that. So after this wreck, I said, Lord, for sparing my life, I want to spend the rest of my life preaching the gospel and raising younger leaders. And that's what I've done since 2009 in Canada and around the world. So thank you very much for this invitation. Let's get into God's word. I've entitled this message, Imagine No Place Nor People Left. Imagine. I was only going to do No Place or People Left. And then I met my brother Daniel yesterday, and he has a whole Imagine campaign. Imagine Adelaide, 90% Christian. How would that look like? Imagine. Imagine that we were not just 4 or 5 churches here, but 1,000 churches. Represent. Imagine. So imagine no place left that has not been touched by the gospel. Imagine no people group. That's what we want to talk about. And what is your role in that? What is my role in that? Next slide. First of all, I want to tell you it is possible. No place left is possible. And I'll tell you why. Next slide. Paul did it in his day. And if you want to, I had a whole message on this from Romans 1, Romans 15, Romans 16 at the Marion Church. So you can go online and listen to it. I'm not going to repeat that sermon. But basically, I was sharing with them that Paul said he was now going to visit the church in Rome on his way to Spain, because he had always wanted to visit, but he was always more concerned that he would finish the work of the gospel, that places that have not been reached will be reached. That was his priority. That's not our priority to this generation. We keep going to the places that have already been reached. 90% of Christian dollars goes to places that have already been reached. 90% of Christian missionaries go to places that have already been reached. Not Paul. And after he had done all the work in his region, he says, but now that there is no place left. Wow. I hope we can say that last thing in our time. That Adelaide, it's done. Brisbane is done. Melbourne is done. What are we looking at? It only takes a few people who are serious about what God says. And so he says, yeah, I've been longing to visit you. Now I plan to do so. Because I am telling you, no place left, no people left is possible. Next slide. Which is why I want to tell you quickly about Africa. A lot can change in 100 years. It's hard to see maybe from there, but every square you see there is 1 million Christians. In 1910, even Asia Pacific had only 218 million? No. What is Asia Pacific there? 28 million on the top right. Now you are 285 million. This is in 2010. There's even more now. So things can change. But the point I'm making is actually Africa. If you look at the top 1910, you see the smallest part there, the green dot is Middle East, North Africa, 4 million. Sub-Saharan Africa was just 9 million Christians. 9 million Christians. By 2010, there were 516 million Christians in Sub-Saharan Africa. And like I'm telling you, by 2018, we're actually the continent with the most Christians in the world. It is possible. This is in 100 years, guys. Just 100 years. Next slide. So, I it's an amazing moment in history. You know, Africa has this unique opportunity to impact the world. This lady here, some of you may not know her, but we've been singing her song, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. A lot of people think it's Michael Smith's song, but this is written by a Nigerian, by an African. Next slide. And there are many Christian organizations in the world led by Africans today. There's a church from Ghana called the Church of Pentecost. It's in over 100 countries now, from Ghana to actually about 120 countries now. Next slide. And these are some leaders. Joshua Bongucci. Some of you know SIM, the big Christian mission organization. It's led by a Nigerian. IFES, which Evangelical Students is part of, until recently was led by a guy from Chad. Global Christianity Forum is led by a Ghanaian, Casely, very good friend of mine. Next slide. I'm just showing you examples. You know, Mutua, Kenyan, is leading Navigators. And these are global organizations now led by Africans. Michelle is leading SIL, they translate scripture. Tayo, you know, John Stott started Langham. He's led by a Nigerian now, Tayo. Next slide. Then Fred is leading Pioneers, he's associate director. And Daniel Shan is leading Open Doors. Bekele Shanko from Ethiopia. Crew is great, Campus Crusade, that's what they call it in the U.S. You know, he's a VP there. Why am I showing you this? We're talking about Africa to the rest. And I'm saying that this is possible. The fact that there can be no place left is possible. I'm not saying all Africa is covered. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God can do a lot in a generation with people who will surrender to him. What can't God do? What can't God do with yielded people in his hands? Next slide. So, number one, it is possible. Tell someone it is possible. No place left, no people left. It is possible. It is possible. Number two, the fact is, it's God's heart. Let's look at a couple of scriptures. Jesus himself said, I have other sheep that are not here today. Don't you think so? Don't you think the people that are in this neighborhood who should be in this room right now? I have other sheep that are not in this sheep pen. And Jesus said, I must bring them also. They too. Do you think you're better than them? Do I think I'm better than them? Absolutely not. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock. Hallelujah. With one shepherd. That's God's heart. That's God's heart. Number one, it is possible that there'll be no place left, no people left. But also number two, it's possible because it is God's heart. Let's look at the next scripture. Because this is not just a New Testament thing. We could actually look at this from Genesis when God called Abraham all the way to the book of Revelation. But because of time, let's just pick one from Isaiah 56. The fact that it's God's heart to bring all these nations, all these people to worship him. These foreigners, you can read the context in Isaiah 56. God says, I will bring to my holy mountain and I'll give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house, this place, will be called a house of prayer for some nations. All nations. Only white nations. Only black nations. Only Asians. Are the aboriginals included? All nations. All nations. This is our Father's house. I love the songs we sang. For all nations. And we see this picture happen in the book of Revelation. We'll land there and then we'll be done. We'll spend some time praying and worship. What's the next slide? Next slide. Oh, let me quickly touch on this. I can't preach on this, but let me touch on this. You see, when we talk about God's mission, this is his heart, to bring all nations to worship him. If you can click one more time. God is on a threefold mission. If I can't speak much about it, you have to go to Marion to explain it to you. Reverend Sonia is here. All right, number one, God is on a threefold mission. This is important because a lot of people hear mission, they think it's a program. They think it's an event. They think it's a trip. But God's mission means that, number one, God is on a mission, number one, to bring himself glory. To bring himself glory. Somebody said God has this weird idea that it's all about him. It's all about him. Right? It's all about him. God wants to bring himself glory from every nation, every tribe, every tongue. The obedience of all nations. The worship of all nations. As we're worshiping here and enjoying God's presence, you know, Jesus says there are some outside who are not part of this. God wants to get glory from every nation and tribe and tongue. Number two, God's mission is to bring people a blessing, to bring all creation a blessing. All creation a blessing, including the blessing of forgiveness. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. It's a huge blessing to have your sins forgiven. Wow. And then number three, can you click again until the picture comes so that those who are pictorial can see it? Number three, against evil. So God now has a mission, number one, towards himself to bring himself glory, towards creation to bring creation a blessing, and number three, against evil, to vanquish evil and to establish his kingdom. I'll read Psalm 67 to illustrate this shortly. May God be gracious to us and bless us. Make his face shine on us. That's God's blessing to us, towards creation. So that your ways may be known on earth, right? Vanquishing evil, establishing his kingdom. Your salvation among all nations. Did you hear all nations? All nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. Some of the nations. All the nations. All the peoples praise you. Verse 4. May the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you rule the peace. People keep clicking until all the three parts show. Oh, it's behind me. Oh, this one is behind, late. Okay, fantastic. All right. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity. You see, establishing his kingdom, and you guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you, verse 5. Then the land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is God's heart. No people left, no place left. Number one, it is possible. Because number two, it is God's heart. Now let's finish it. My third and final point. Next slide. Number three, it will happen. I thought there's only one believer here. God bless you. I don't know. I don't know why. I don't know why you guys call yourself believers. What do you believe? Number three, it will happen. Say, hey. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. And you see, maybe you're worried because you're like, who's this African preacher who's like, I'm not sure about his credentials. It's not about me. God says it will happen. Forget about me. It will happen. And let's see it in reality. Next slide. So this is the picture we see. Next slide. All right. So this is the end. This is the end of the matter. This is the final book in the Bible. Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing at the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders. The lamb had seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. This is Revelation chapter 5. He went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb. Each one had a harp. And they were holding golden bowls full of incense. Well, what is the incense? The prayers of God's people. Do you remember Isaiah? My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. And then what happened? Next slide. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God people. From every tribe. There's a problem if it's not every. no people left, no place left. From every tribe, every language, every people, every nation. And like 1 Peter 2 says, you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Are there any believers here? It will happen. God showed John the Revelator that at the end of the day, it happens. Quickly, let's round up here. But between now and that time, this is the state of the world. There are 17,443 people groups or ethnic groups in the world. 7,423 are still considered unreached. No, Jesus is not coming tomorrow. Trust me. Unless we do something drastic. Of course, now with technology and all of that, it may happen sooner than we think. But there are so many people that are still unreached. Guys, God wants his house full. God deserves for his house to be full. I love what the Moravians would say. They used to say, the Lamb is worthy. He's worthy that you receive the full reward of his sacrifice. Jesus shed enough blood for all the 8 billion people on the planet. Why do we want to take 2 million or 2 billion? There's enough blood. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. He has, look, it's not money down. It's not cash down. It's blood down. He's purchased us. He's bought us. Will we bring in the full harvest? Let me quickly throw, and we're going to go very fast through this because I'm done. I want to show you an example of what we're doing. Adelaide, Australia. As we look at the nations that have not been reached, we're talking about 7,400 people groups. Do you know China, and between China and India, India has about 2,000 unreached people groups, India alone. China has about 400, 500. I looked at your statistics last year. These are the countries, the top four countries. Nepal, very Buddhist still, almost 99%. Vietnam, these are the countries that sent their students to Australia. God is literally saying, I said go to the nations, you didn't go. I'm bringing the nations to you. Guys, even yesterday we went to the dry cleaners, Pastor Steve and I. Nobody would take our stuff, it's a long weekend. But one person did, an Indian woman. Hindu. Idols all over the place. So we started a gospel conversation. She said, I try to do good inside, you know. And for her, religion was a cultural thing. But she's right here in Adelaide. She's been here 20 years. Where have you been? They are coming. In Canada, the number one sending country of students is India. It's China in the U.S., but it's soon be flipped because it used to be China in Canada as well. Next slide, quickly. So I want to give you an example because India in particular, many have said, is the greatest challenge we have. Next slide. Why? Because now you can click this so that we go fast. Yes, huge population, 1.39 billion people. India has 1/5 of the world's population. Like I said, they send the most students to Canada. They send the second most to you. Next slide. Next slide. I want to quickly run through this. Next slide. All right. Over 2,000 unreached people groups, I told you. 1/3 of the world's remaining unreached people groups live in India. Indonesia has the most Muslims, but guess what? Muslim people groups, the majority are actually in India. How are we going to worship without our Indian friends? We're 2,000 short. Just India alone. In Ghana, we still have 20 unreached people groups. Every one of our countries will have some unreached people groups. Guys, let's stop playing around. Let's get off our blessed assurance, eh? Next slide. Next slide. All right. And I want to end on this note because it's a huge, like, there's a state there called Uttar Pradesh. You know, it's equivalent to Brazil's population, 240 million people. These are huge numbers. People living in darkness. And I'm mentioning that in particular because there's a young man I'll be visiting from here in New Zealand. He came to New Zealand as an international student, high caste Brahmin. That's my time's up. And he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we're doing together? Between last year and now, let's show them some pictures. Next slide. All right. Oh, this was just to show you how even Latin America has like 25 times the number of missionaries that India has. What's wrong with us? Like, why are we going to the places that have already been reached? There's a problem if we are not interested in finishing the finishables. Enough of pursuing the pursuables. Oh, can we change this carpet to brown instead of black? Who cares? Next slide. All right. So those are two Indian students. They're covering their prayer just for protection. But the one that on up there, he is in New Zealand. You know, he is the one we're doing this major project with. Next slide. We're going to just go through it. Every Tuesday, we are having these Skype meetings, Zoom meetings, training these pastors and leaders every Tuesday. And between February last year and now, if you can move to the next slide, these guys have shared the gospel about over 10,000 times. As I speak, between February and now, we've seen over 400 churches planted. Now, some of you probably like, oh, how is that possible? Because it's not about chairs and building. No, it's what we call rabbit churches. They are small and they reproduce fast. Right? They're not elephant churches. You know how long an elephant's got to be pregnant before it gives birth? Anybody knows? Yeah, 2 years. That's right. So they are not elephant churches. All right, next slide. All right, so this is him. Recently, he went back to India from New Zealand. And then this is that we are mapping out because to see what we call a movement, it means there must be up to 4 generations. So this church plants another, which plants another, which plants another. 4 generations, and we're mapping out, you know, in India. Just quickly. I'm just showing you, all right. And from the book, we're supporting the work there. All the proceeds from the book last year, $12,000 were sent to India for the work. This is a real baptism. This is not a stock photo. This is one of the folks. All right, next. All right, so proceeds from the book have been going to India. Next slide. All right. And we've been encouraging, if Africa has the most Christians in the world, then they should stop caring just about themselves and go as missionaries. We did this research and found out that about half of African Christians go to China, go to India, and don't see themselves as missionaries. Can you imagine? Meanwhile, the Chinese government is literally throwing scholarships at them. Europe needs many missionaries. I was talking to a missionary friend of mine. He said, send us missionaries from Africa. The problem is, a lot of times they don't get visas and they don't have money. Oh, but those are the very two things international students have. They have visas and a lot of times they have scholarships. Ta-da. But many are going who have not been sent. And we're changing that. We're starting some training to change that. All right. I think that's about the end of it. Yeah, last year we sent this student. You know, she's in India right now. She's actually in Uttar Pradesh. Another slide. And I have an intern I work with, Michael, who's the fourth from the left there. If you show another slide, in December, we sent him to India. This is one of the house churches he went to visit. Right, next slide. Yeah, that's him doing some mapping, etc. So, in conclusion, what do we need to do? First of all, prayer. Nothing happens without prayer. You know, if you're not going to do anything about this message, just say, God, teach me to pray for the nations. Teach me to pray for the 2,140 unreached people groups in India. Teach me to pray for the 20 unreached people. You could easily do this. There's an app called the Joshua Project app. Every day it will bring out an unreached people group you can pray for. One of the things I do is that at 10:02 every day, my alarm goes on. And I say a prayer for God to release more workers to his harvest. Why 10:02? Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. Awesome. You see, can you imagine if we're all praying 10:02 in New Zealand, in Australia, in Afghanistan, in Zimbabwe? Oh. This is the stuff that excites me, I'm telling you. All right, so prayer. We can partner in prayer. You know, next thing. Yeah, and there are other ways we can partner. Quiver itself is something I lead now. It's a consortium of different organizations. Don't forget that by our unit. even what we are doing right now is a strong missional message. That's why the kingdom of darkness is quivering. They don't like the sound of this. They don't like the look of this. But whether they like it or not, no place left, no people left. Number one, it is possible. Number two, it is God's heart. Number three, it will happen. It will happen. I just have one question for you. Last slide. Look at this picture. John said he looked. Let's go back one. Let's read that. And there before me was a great multitude. It's going to happen. It's a great party, which no one could count. If you can count it, it's the wrong crowd. Somebody tell the Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, because it's a great multitude that no one can count. No one can count. From every nation, every tribe, every people, every language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, wearing white robes, holding palm branches in our hands, and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Salvation belongs to the one who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. The question is a great multitude quantitative? Is from people, every tribe, nation, tongue, qualitative? What will your contribution be? Happen, it will. How much will you and I have contributed to that crowd? Let's close our eyes and think about that. Maybe some of us need to say, God, we are sorry for just thinking about ourselves and not thinking about that world. Many of us have more mirrors in our homes than windows. We don't see outside and see outside of our churches and our schools and we don't see who else. Only mirrors all over the wall. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? All we care is about ourselves, me, myself, and I. God, may you forgive us. God, forgive your church of our selfishness. Even greed. Lord, of being in the sheep pen and feeding ourselves fat and forgetting that there are 7,400 people groups in the world who have not been reached. Oh God, may you change that today. There's somebody here, God is speaking to you about your neighbor. Your neighbor. You know your neighbor is Indian. God is speaking to you. You know who you are. God, here we are. Here we are. Where are the nations? Where are the nations? Yes, the Lord rejoices that this room is almost full. That's wonderful. But where are the rest? Where are the rest? Jesus asked that one leper who came back to say thank you, the Samaritan says, where are the other nine? Today Jesus is asking us, where are the other 7,400 people groups? Because people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue will bring this prayers of incense, this worship that will rise before the Lord as incense. I don't know what God is telling you right now, but maybe yours is to change your prayer lives. I don't know what yours is. Maybe yours is just to start the 10:02 prayer. Maybe yours is to say, you know what? I'm going to give $100 to this work that is going on in India. I don't know what yours is. Maybe God is actually going to send you to India. I have pastored a Chinese church. For 4 years, I pastored a Chinese church in Canada. 4 years. I don't know what God is going to ask you to do. But this room is full of people God can use greatly. That in 100 years, everything can change like he has done with Africa. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. In Jesus' name.
Between Pastor Steve and Pastor Lord. Charles and Wow Yao. That's his name, Wow Yao. Yao Wow. What a wow. We're going to have Q&A 5 to 6. But this service, again, like I said, talking to the pastor, we wanted more time for worship. So we're going to have a couple of songs. Obviously, Dr. Yao, Purdy have lots to